Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first ever Heathen Hour broadcast. I'm Godless Cranium, and I'm joined today by my co-host Shannon Q and our two guests, fellow YouTubers Emperor Atheist and Max Colby. Before we jump into today's topic, spirituality, I want to take a few minutes and let our guests tell us a little bit about themselves and their channel. You want to start it off, Max?
Oh, me? Well, yeah. Our channel is Red Pill Religion. We also have redpillreligion.com, although it still redirects right now to theoldescapingatheism.com, which is, you know, we've just started to down pedal a little bit on the aggression because we're starting to think it's not as necessary as it was when we started. We are Red Pill Religion. That's where you'll find us. Please give us a like and subscribe. We are dedicated to the proposition that belief in the supernatural and the transcendent is normal, healthy, rational, and evidence-based. We talk to people of all religions and no religion of all, philosophical theists, witches, pagans, Jedi. We've had Muslims, Jews. We've had them all on. Our team consists of one atheist who enjoys our humorous and a confrontational approach, one Gaelic pagan, and a bunch of Christians of differing denominations. I'm Catholic. I'd say about half the team is Catholic now, but we got Anglicans and Eastern Orthodox all over the place. So we're a pretty diverse group intellectually, and we're always welcome. We think human spirituality is perfectly natural and healthy, and you might even get sick if you don't have that in your life. So come on by anytime and have a chat.
That's why I got the sniffles. what about you, Emperor?
Oh, it just... You just find me at Emperor Atheist channel, man. And basically, what my channel and platform is trying to do, man, is basically normalize atheism, actually speak on why atheism is more rational, and why we should get rid of superstition, why we should get rid of things that that we shouldn't believe in as adults. And we should be more steered and steer our generation, our next generation of children, toward more scientific endeavors, toward more rational thinking. But we also do, man, as far as my outreach program I have, Atheism is Great. We do Feed Hungry every month, once a month here in Atlanta, and I'm branching out to L.A., my hometown. And we want to branch out more to do more things, physical things for people. Because one thing we know as atheists or non-theists or anti-theists, this is why the church, we think, have a stronghold, too, because of the things that they do for people physically, you know, as far as financial and food. We don't have a lot of that going on within the atheist community because, of course, we're small numbers. So that's one of the things we're trying to do, and normalize atheism to the point where we won't have these things pushed down our throat, fight against religious bullying and so forth, and willing to take on whoever in a debate, to debate their position and to debate our position. And that's basically it.
Yeah, sounds cool. Awesome. So we want to talk about spirituality. What I think the thing we have to do first is kind of come to an agreement on what you guys would think spirituality means. What do you think, Max, about that?
Well, we will probably have differing definitions but I'll give the definitions as I understand them. You have what is the natural, or that which works under the laws of physics that science is typically able to examine, and you have the supernatural, which is that which is beyond, that which operates, or it simply is beyond the laws of physics. That's where the supernatural comes in. And what I think is the case, and I think a lot of people think this, there clearly is lots of evidence that there are spirit forces, and a spirit force would be something that operates outside the laws of physics that is that still affects you. And, you know, that's where you get things like demons, angels, ghosts, etc. I think it's perfectly rational to believe in things like angels and demons, and perfectly normal. And spiritual people are open to such things, and treat them as real, believe they are real, with reason to believe they are real. And from that frame of reference, I would say that the atheist can be spiritual in the absolute sense, because, of course, the atheist has a soul, whether he acknowledges it or not. But can he be spiritual? I think he's closed himself off to it and will explain every single thing that happens to him. He will find a way to explain it away as delusion, imagination, wishful thinking, some kind of electrochemical short in his brain, anything but the possibility that it's real. So you have closed off your spirituality. And that's why I do think it's unhealthy. And I do think it's better to find some kind of spiritual base, even if it's not going to be Christianity. An atheist can't be spiritual in the sense that he has closed himself off to spirituality and has decided he will explain it all away as psychology and all sorts of other things like that. Anything but the possibility that it was real. And that just cuts the spiritual out of your life. That's how I see it.
All right. What about you, Emperor Atheist? Did we lose him? We
didn't. Oh, he's muted. He made up. Oh. Unmute. Unmute, Emperor. You're muted.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
It's okay.
Yeah, GC, before I get off into that and why I think Max is totally wrong on that, I want Shannon to describe her channel, too, even though I know she's just a moderator, but introduce right. yourself, too, to the chat, if you don't mind, before I go.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there absolutely. I'm Shannon, and the reason I'm here is that I am co-hosting with GC, and you can go to my channel if you'd like. You'll find playlists there, mostly of me having dialogues with individuals or me on Hangouts like this, but I actually have never generated any individual unique content. I'm going to one day because I have pressure, particularly from Paul Gia, who is my boyfriend, and GC to start generating content. But I'm going to be the co-host of these discussions on the podcast when we have them. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to let people know who I am. But yeah, please let us know what your opinion of spirituality is so that we can carry on.
Okay. Max just said, he gave his definition of spirituality, which we know, philosophically, pragmatically, there's no particular term or definition for spirituality. But just on the record, we'll just go with his opinion of what it means. But the term is so vague and it's ill-defined. You can go so many different ways with it. But this is the thing about it. We know that this particular term is mostly used in conjunction with theism because, most people's spirituality is basically God-centered. What God? I don't know. But whatever God they wanted to be. Buddhism has a spirituality, Taoism, Shinto, Judaism, Catholicism. So on that particular note, then, of course, that would contradict an atheist living a particular God-centered life. But this is the thing, and we got to keep this intact. Anybody can be spiritual. Because to some people, it means self-realization. It means philosophical searching. And for others, it may mean some very deep or some type of strong emotional reaction to the wonder of life. For example, I don't know if y'all are familiar with Carl Sagan's book that he wrote back in 1996 before he passed away. A great physicist. It was called Demon Haunted World. And excuse me for my coughing, too. And he talked about how spirituality, us gazing out at the universe on a clear night, just awe inspiring, looking at the stars, watching a newborn child being born, or deer, a Bambi. These are spiritual type things. All of these, just spirituality of loving life, of being awe inspired by different things that we learn, information, are spiritual things that are compatible with atheism or anti-theism. And see, this is the thing. And when you get to the specific understanding of whatever your definition of spirituality is, you can't just sit up and say that an atheist can't be this because you have a vague. First of all, there's no particular definition of spirituality. So spirituality can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. An atheist can be spiritual. And see, this is another thing that I want to take note of that I think that people should be aware of. When you talk about spirituality, you're basically talking about something that basically has no what we call cognitive basis. And what I mean by that, it has no cognitive content. Let me put it like that. Spirituality has no cognitive content, but it does have an emotional content, meaning that most of the time when you hear people talk about spiritual things, like you just heard Max say, it's basically from some type of religious or supernatural thing, that they're spiritual because of some supernatural type thing. Most of the time when you hear people talk about spirituality, it does come from some type of emotion. It doesn't come from something that is empirical. It doesn't come from something that is a cognitive thing. So yes, atheists can definitely be spiritual. But in the end though, because I've got to remember, all of the vagueness basically prevents the concept of spirituality from even carrying a cognitive content. Like I say, it's an emotional thing. So some atheists reject the term spirituality. Some atheists say, yeah, I am spiritual. So it's not like atheists say we are spiritual. Some atheists don't even give a damn about the term spirituality. But I'm here saying that I know for a fact that atheists can be spiritual because to some atheists or agnostics or anti-theists, they see no validity in the word. They don't care about the word. But to some, it holds to some type of emotional contact. So that therefore, yes, they can be spiritual if they want.
So do you think, so Emperor, I heard you while you were speaking say that it's got no cognitive validity. So just to interject, just to let you know a little bit more about my background, which I should have professed a little earlier, I actually do have a background in psychology. So I have an honors degree in psychology. Okay. And so my perception of spirituality, and correct, based on what you just mentioned, is perhaps that it's more so a manifestation of what we would refer to as qualia, which are sort of subjective, tacit, sort of ineffable experiences, like color. The perception right. of color could be right. perceived as a qualia. And it's something that's manifested emotionally, but isn't tangible. So because of that, because it's an ineffable experience, the type of experience that we can feel, but we maybe necessarily can't articulate, it opens itself up to conflation. So somebody could have an experience that they perceive as spiritual because they put it in the context of religion, because religion is their go-to context, essentially, when they're defining their experiences. And another person could have a similar or almost identical cognitive or emotional event, and because the infrastructure that they're using to define it within is that of more so empirical, rational, external, environmental experience, they would qualify it more as an emotional event that was from an external experience and be more introspective about it. So is that a fair sort of summary of the way you're describing what you mean when you say that it's not a cognitive event?
Right, exactly. Basically, what I'm saying, it doesn't carry basically a great deal of cognitive content. So yeah, and that is from a psychological aspect, because I mean it's a psychological thing we're dealing with. So for one to believe that they have spirituality, and let me say this, and this is why I'm agreeing with what you're saying. Spirituality, I think, and I think most the consensus would agree with this, consensus of philosophers and psychologist or whatever, neuroscientist, spirituality is different from religion. It's totally different from religion. So even though, like I said, even though we know this term spirituality is basically connected at the hip with religion and God beliefs and beliefs in deities, but I think that it's a different thing as well. And I think besides getting off to the etymology of it and where it came from, I think you can be, you know, like I say, it's an emotional thing. It's more an emotional content than it is cognitive. Yeah. So I agree with what you said. Yeah.
So someone could have the same experience. They just put it in a different context than, like, so somebody who has an experience that they define as spiritual, they define as spiritual because it's in the context of their innate or learned spirituality, than somebody who has an identical experience, but doesn't set it in the context of religion because they themselves aren't religious, that experience can mean the same thing to them. It can have the same efficacy. However, they define it differently, even though from a neurological and emotional perspective, it's the same sort of experience. They're just framing it differently in order to interpret the neurological emotional event.
Exactly. Think about this. And I don't want to give Max time to speak back.
I have a super chat for him, actually, but finish what you're saying there.
Sure, okay.
Okay. Yes, you want to say something, Max, before I speak again?
No. Go ahead and say your
thing, man. I just wanted to follow up what Shannon just said.
I'm totally just listening.
Okay, think about this for a minute. About what you said about spiritual experiences. just take atheists out of this equation for a minute. You have Muslims, billion Muslims. You have Christians, then you have Catholics. You have all different type of Christians who think they're right. You have Mormons. You have all Jehovah's Witnesses. All of these people, Buddhists, you know, go back to Orientalist religions. Hell, Satanists. Some of them consider themselves spiritualists. All of these people have spiritual experiences. So let's just take the atheists out for a minute. And even though their spirituality is connected or in conjunction with some type of deity, still no one can tell you a Muslim experience of spirituality is you know, may be different. Of course, it will be different. Deity, but it's still, you can't deny their spirituality because you say, well, I don't believe your religion is right, but they have a spiritual basis. Christians have a spiritual basis. So spirituality, just in that example alone of different religions, now, if you can show and prove, which no one can, that one religion just has the real spirituality, then that would be a whole different case solved. So to say that Muslims, for anyone to say, well, Muslim, but Christian to say that a Muslim don't have spirituality, or a Muslim say that Christian don't have real spirituality, it's you know, that's illogical. It's incoherent. Same way that none of those people who actually believe in these deities can say that any atheist or non-theist who connects with spirituality can say that their spirituality is not real. So, you know, they have no basis to say what an atheist can feel emotionally. That's what I'm saying. I'm done.
All right. I do have a super chat, but I want to let Max respond to that as well. But I'm just going to read this out really quick. So Duke Bonanza was asking, how do things outside the laws of physics affect things in the physical world? Spirituality in the atheist sense is anything that transcends a sense of self or invokes awe, in my opinion. So did you want to take it away from there, Max?
Oh, I can. And I think it actually segues into what I would have wanted to go with anyway. Can you read his question again so I make sure I give it a fair answer?
Yep, sure. He said, how do things outside the laws of physics affect things in the physical world? Spirituality in the atheist sense is anything that transcends a sense of self or invokes awe, in my opinion.
Okay. Things that the number one thing I would point out to you that is non-physical and does not in any way obey the laws of physics is mathematics itself. Mathematics somehow operates perfectly and the laws of physics conform to it magnificently, and it has no physical basis at all. You can't even design an empirical test to tell me to prove that mathematics exists. And you can't show me math anywhere in the real world. Mathematics is, in fact, supernatural. And it's a supernatural thing we interact with all the time and that our universe seems to run by. And it's one of many examples. Another would be your mind. Since to this day, no one in doing neurocognitive research can really support the idea that your mind, your awareness, your perception, let's say, of the color green or red or blue, is simply some kind of emergent effect of electrochemistry. Horseshit. That's not science at all, and that's just a belief. It's not only not provable. I'll show you copious science in the peer review research that demonstrates that your mind, at least in part, probably exists outside the laws of physics. This gets us to the fact that. What I just heard out of Emperor Atheist, which is quite eloquent, and by the way, I really praise you for that food program initiative. I hope you'll work with friendly religious people who do that.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, good. I'm really glad to hear that. You do more of it. Because atheists shouldn't be persecuted, even though I'm one of the hardest and meanest guys when I'm shitposting. I really wasn't. I do have atheist friends, and I really do have an atheist team member. So, you know, we should post people a lot, but I really am glad when I hear things like that. What I just heard, though, was ultimately the declaration that it's irrational, that it's not truly cognitive, and that it all gets down to emotion and psychology, which begs the question, how do you know that? Where's your evidence of that? We have copious evidence. I'll tell you what, it is natural and normal for humans to have an inherently theist worldview. I like to talk about the Greek philosophers, Aristotle and Plato, and I do recommend those. Even if you're an atheist, you should understand those guys' thinking. They were 300-400 years before Christ. But then, you know, in the 20th century, we discovered the Bantu philosophers in Central and South Africa, who had writings that may go back as far as 9,000 BC, talking about what most theists would say, they're talking about God. They called him Iwatsu, but he was the uncreated creator, the one that was responsible for the universe continuing to be here and continue running the way it does. They had a few other names for him, but the Iwatsu is the one I thought of, and they believed in that. Many of them converted very readily to Christianity because this goes to the other equivocation. If you, a Catholic who knows his catechism, or someone who just talks in depth to the Eastern Orthodox or the Coptics, will tell you we don't believe all the other religions are simply false. We believe they all have some truth in them. I'll point to, and I happen to believe literally that demons are a real thing. And I have interacted with them. I can point you to doctors and scientists who have similar experience. I would even point to this interesting book by Father Gabriel Amorth, the Vatican's senior exorcist on the demonic, giving a pretty systemic explanation of how they operate, what they do, when they do it, why they do it, and how you get rid of them. And as it happens, I found out even from pagan sources that are friendly to Christians that, yeah, Christians are considered something of a gold standard when it comes to the demonic. And there are people who go to the Vatican who aren't Catholic or even Christian at all for advice on what to do with demonic experiences. That stuff happens. Sometimes even government people do that. So I literally think it is rational to think that the supernatural is real and that there are spirit forces that interact with us. How do they do it? The Catholic understanding is that they operate outside of time and space. We've always said that, which is why you're not going to get them on camera very often, because they don't respond to the electromagnetic spectrum or to gravity for that matter. They push impulses at you. They push impulses or images into your brain. They push ideas at you, and they can push physical impulses into your body to make you sick. I believe all this, and I understand science just fine. So even if you think it's all psychological effect, that's just your opinion. You've got no scientific evidence for that at all. So so when you psychologize and say it's just a feeling, you're actually cutting yourself off from potential contact with something's real. That's what I think.
So one, just really quick, Savage Atheist asked a question about your peer-reviewed. He said, cite your peer-reviewed studies that the mind exists outside the laws of physics. You're not just getting away with a comment like that.
I'll be happy to, but since I am not here to just immediately snap to with references, I'll send some to Godless Cranium, and he can look at them and he can share them with you. Okay. But I assure you, there are working scientists working within the peer review system who really do think there has to be something that you could only call a soul. So I'll send that along.
Yes, thanks for the super chat. But before we go, I need to address one thing that you said though, Max. You did say that the fact that it's emotional, there's no peer-reviewed research, or unless I'm misconstruing, and please correct me if I'm wrong and I misinterpreted what you said. You said on the basis of spirituality, it being, you know, qualia, like I mentioned earlier, and it being sort of a subjective experience, that we don't really have any evidence that that happens essentially internally inside our body biologically. Am I wrong in, just quickly, if you can let me know, am I wrong in interpreting that that's what you were saying?
I didn't understand that. I'm sorry, sweetie.
It's okay, Max. It sounded like you said that there's no sort of empirical or scientific evidence
that
emotions happen inside of us, but there definitely is, because we have neurotransmitter functional MRI studies that show that when people profess to certain types of emotional experiences, that there's certain activation and certain releases of neurotransmitter
in parts of
the brain. That's repeatable, and so we know that that happens internally on a neurological level, and we can point to it like very, very specifically.
Yeah, so you figure love is that love you felt when your child was born was just a squirt of oxytocin, huh? I don't think so.
Serotonin, there's definitely some serotonin and dopamine mixed in there too. It was a wicked cocktail. I'll give you that.
Yeah, exactly.
We could just whip you up with that, and you'd feel the same thing for anybody.
Theoretically,
yeah. Yeah, that's a belief you have that isn't scientific. Sorry. You've shown that there is what you have shown is that there is correlation between chemistry in your brain and certain mental and physiological functions. Well, everybody's known that for a really long time. That doesn't mean, I'm going to repeat that you cannot explain your cognitive awareness. You cannot explain your will. You cannot explain any of it, at least not scientifically. You can hope that you're just an electrochemical machine, but you can't prove that scientifically at all. It's just a belief you have. It's a faith-based position of the atheist.
But you can't, like, elicit a correlation, though. You can elicit these, like, you can expose somebody. Like, they've done functional MRI study where they presented people with images that that would either elicit, like, a tragic images, like a child that's in danger, and that elicited an emotional response that would coincide with a previous correlation. And that's so because it was elicited, that's not a correlation, that's cause and effect, isn't it?
Certain drugs would all have the same effect, right?
You're asserting that the electrochemistry is the cause and effect. That what I would suggest to you, a lot of the research would suggest that your soul interacts with your brain, that much of your memory is stored outside your brain, that much of you, that things like your will and your perception are not in there and cannot be explained by any current science. And so your belief that you can get it all down to electrochemistry demands proof, because you don't have it. All you have is that you see these chemicals. Well, I know this. I've had my hormones played with by, drugs and other things over the years. Nobody thinks hormones are irrelevant.
Right.
But you can't, you're nowhere close to even being close to proof that you can therefore explain all mind activity that way. You cannot. And I'll be happy to have a scientific debate with any scientist you want, as long as I get to bring one of mine.
Sure. And I would never suggest that I could.
Go ahead, Shannon.
No, you know what? I have talked enough. You please go ahead.
The super chats are blowing up. I got
hold one on this, and I promise you, but I get to bring one of my scientists.
Long as a real scientist, you bring whoever you like. But I got
Travis Bell this is funny. He donated $6.66. There was two questions a savage atheist again asked. You don't get to just say well-founded science isn't science because it makes you uncomfortable and wrecks your arguments. Exactly. So it's more of a statement. But Duke Bonanza asks, how do you explain behavior changes due to brain damage in the presence of a spirit? What would you say to that, Emperor Atheist?
Ask that question again?
I'll go right back. Sorry. How do you explain behavior changes due to brain damage in the presence of a spirit? You probably don't believe in spirit, so
I don't. Yeah. I think,
so I guess.
Well, see, one thing about it, I wanted to get back. I'm gonna answer that question, but I wanted to. Yeah. Y'all let Max go so long with a lot of fallacious stuff he said, and no disrespect, Max, but he said a lot of fallacious things. He said that demons, and I'm gonna get back to this question because I think NDEs are very important to these things and brain correlation. We do have facts. We have peer reviewed facts about these things, like Shannon said. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna screen view in a little while, but Max, you said a few minutes, a long, long time ago, you said that demons, the reason that you're not, and you keep speaking about science and you keep speaking about what we don't have evidence for, thinking about your religious beliefs as if we should respect them without evidence. You said that demons, and then you brought up somebody who you said that could prove this. I would love to see this proof because this person deserves a Pulitzer Prize, a Nobel Peace Prize, if they have evidence for demons. I mean, whoever have evidence for demons deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. But this is what I want to say to you, Max. If you say that demons, I'm gonna give you a chance to prove that. Definitely. We can debate that anytime you like. But this is the thing I want to say to you, Max. You said that demons existed outside of time and space. Did you not make that comment, that statement?
Yeah, that's what the science and other information would all suggest, yes.
Okay. What particular science suggests that?
Well, maybe we'll have to bring Jonathan Rotz in here because a lot of it is very strongly supported in current quantum physics.
Okay, and Jonathan Ross.
We also have the reports of experts, sir, which you can use for scientific purposes anytime you like. And to suggest, by the way, that I believe these things because I'm Catholic, sir, I wasn't born Catholic. I was an atheist until I was
Max, I didn't say that.
I rationally concluded based on the evidence that there are demons, and it did happen that the more I looked at what the Catholic Church said about them, it all looked about to match my experience. So, you know, I made a rational, logical conclusion there. You can read the material and come to your own conclusions. It's Father Gabriel Almo. An exorcist explains the demonic. It's considered one of the world's experts on it. So
I just want to ask you, and is Catholics are not the only theists who believe in demons. I mean,
not at all.
Right. So it is not just Catholics. So I didn't say you believed in demons because you were Catholic. Because people, I mean, the Zoroastrians believed in demons. The people before Christianity was even thought about believed in demons. I mean, but I'm just saying, how do you know that demons exist? How can anybody say that somebody exists outside? If you're saying a demon exists outside of time and space, you're saying that they have the same power as God? Are you assuming that?
Quantum physics does in fact suggest that quite a few things operate outside of time and space, and theistic framework. If you understand,
no, Max, I'm not.
What?
Say that again.
Well, if you understand the say what again? I think we missed each other. I'm saying straight up, quantum physics demonstrates that all kinds of things exist outside of time and space. Well, so no, they're not all God, and then quantum physics doesn't prove God. Although if you posit a prime mover, quantum physics all of a sudden makes a lot more sense, and that's what God would be, the prime mover.
But, okay.
All of that's perfectly compatible with current science, by the way, and it isn't.
So, okay. Well, I digressed on that as far as dealing with quantum mechanics. But quantum mechanics says a lot of different things that we understand to be natural. But we're talking about a God. And even if we get on the subject of a prime mover, let's just say for the sake of argument, I agree with the prime mover or whatever you want to say, one of these ancient arguments. Even if I was to agree with the prime mover, even though you still haven't answered my questions, how a demon space and can possess a human being. I don't see how you can exist outside of time and space and then come within time and space and affect someone's life. But even if we was to agree that there was a prime mover, how would a particular prime mover, why that prime mover couldn't be a deist god or a pantheist god? How could you predicate that to be your Catholic god? That's no way you can do that.
We may be getting off topic too.
I just wanted to address what he said.
Max, answer that question really, really quick, and then we'll get back onto the topic.
I have said nothing here that wouldn't apply to a Zoroastrian, a Muslim, quite a few Shintoists would agree with everything I've said so far. So, yeah, and as to the question of how they do it, well, I just told you, sir. I believe your mind, your perception, your awareness exists in itself outside of time and space. If you go into it, I can recommend a book to you by Rupert Sheldrake on the matter and references Thomas Aquinas that describe they operate independent of what we know to be the laws of physics, and they push impulses at us. And that's not a hard thing for me to believe. Maybe it is for you. It doesn't seem irrational to me.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, guys. So to get back to the topic of whether or not you can be spiritual without a religion, do either of you think that you need religion in the definition of spirituality for it to be spiritual? Or do you think that the definition of spirituality needs to perhaps be redefined so that it can encompass experiences that would traditionally have been defined as spiritual because like I'd mentioned before, they'd been defined in the context of religion so that they can include experiences of enlightenment or extreme emotional events or experiences where you feel connected? And do you feel like those experiences that are previously defined as spiritual need to be looked at more in the context of how the external environment is affecting your perceptions as opposed to just essentially attributing them to a god? And I guess I'll start with you, Emperor, if you don't mind And it, let me know if you need me to reframe everything, because that was a very wordy question.
Yeah, it was. But I got the gist of it. I think redefining it, like I said when I first spoke, I think the word, well, I don't think it, it, I mean, spirituality is not, it's not well defined at all. Never has been.
Right. I agree with that.
I mean, philosophy can't even well define it. So the problem with basically answering whether atheists can be spiritual or not, like I say, it basically dwells within the term spiritual being so vague and so ill-defined most of the time. So usually when people use it, they mean something similar to or nevertheless, you know, very distinct from religion. So, and I think that's an improper usage because, you know, there are very good reasons to basically think that spirituality is more of a type of religion sometimes. And sometimes it's good to think spirituality is not. But even if you think of spirituality as a type of religion, I know some atheists disagree with that. Because if you think of spirituality as more of a type of religion, then of course, atheists definitely can be spiritual because some people can look at atheism as religion, even though we know.
Yeah,
philosophically debated that atheist. But you understand where I'm going with that?
Yeah, no, I get you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I see it as a unified perspective. Yeah.
Right. I just want to put that out because I like to always put both sides out.
Yeah, but, you're playing devil's advocate. It's always good in an intellectual conversation, for sure.
Yeah, because I try to be honest with everything. Try to keep everybody else honest, too. So fair. The thing about it is, looking at it from that perspective, which is just one perspective, atheists definitely can be spiritual. If we look at spirituality as a type of religion, then atheism can be looked at as a type of religion. But on the other hand, with atheists who deny that atheism is a religion, which I definitely deny, then like I said before, spirituality can be things that we just that we are inspired by, things that basically moves our emotions. When you're talking about spirituality and things, like I say, think of loving the universe, loving nature, fishing. Right. You know, some people love to fish, go out on the water and just think to themselves. Some people
so like ineffable, intangible, subjective sort of positive experiences.
Exactly. Some people
that relate outside of you.
What you are, atheist. Right. You understand what I'm saying, Shannon?
Yeah, no, I do. Yeah. Sorry. I paraphrase sometimes to make sure I'm understanding. So I'm sorry.
Right. Some people like to paint. Some people love to draw. These are spiritual experiences of people. It doesn't have to be always connected to some imaginative deity or some deity that people believe in. This is what I'm saying. This is why I also made the point of Oba of Akon said he loved fishing. That's spiritual, bro. But that's a spiritual thing. But we have to redefine it to just answer your question. Yes, I think we should redefine. And you know what, Shannon? Honestly, we probably could just leave like it is, because how could we really define it? Mm-hmm. What type of consensus could we take? Because you can't just leave people that don't believe in some God out of it. They have their own experiences. These things are all non-provable. Like I say, that my opinion, that it doesn't hold any cognitive weight of content, because it's something that you can't tell somebody that they're not spiritual. You know, you don't know. You know, how can you tell somebody that they're not spiritual beings? You can't do that. And it doesn't take a belief in some type of soul or some type of mind, disembodied mind outside of the physical body. I mean, it just don't take that, regardless of what neuroscience or anything else is. So, yeah, I think we should, I guess, redefine it. But, I mean, what good would it do? How could we actually redefine certain vague words like that? You understand what I mean?
That's fair. Can I pose a different question to Max, maybe in a different context, and I think that this would be a good question for you, Max. If playing devil's advocate, and I'm not saying that there's not, if there is no God,
convention, you know, that's a Catholic invention. It really is.
If there is no God, can anything spiritual?
I'll tell you this, because I'm ADHD. In the trial to see whether or not someone should be canonized as a saint, they're assigned a devil's advocate who's there to make the case against.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm that guy. I don't know how many of those were women, but I'm that guy, I guess.
Okay. So
if there is no God, playing devil's advocate, can anybody be spiritual?
No, not by the definitions I used. Well, no, actually, no. Wait a minute. No. I got to back that way the hell up. No.
Okay.
There are definitely spiritual beliefs of the supernatural. You will find people who believe in reincarnation, for example, without a specific idea of God. Although I find their beliefs murky, and they seem to agree that they're murky. But no, absolutely. In fact, it's it's more common to believe in demons, devils, angels, and ghosts, which I will assert again are evidence-based things to believe in, than it is to specifically believe there is a God. Although I think if you push most of those people and say, don't you think there's some ultimate source behind it all? They'll all go, well, yeah. So, I mean, there's this borderline area. Like I said, I've known witches. My witch pep buddy, he seems to have a dual God idea, but I think even he, if you push him, says, well, no, there is an ultimate source God behind it all. But then they've got the mother God and the father God. So, I mean, it's blurry, right? But yeah, there's people with spirituality that I think is poorly formed. And that's where I will get to the point where I am going to be the pro-religious side. And I have real arguments with people who say they're anti-religion, because frankly, what a good solid religion is, and this does distinguish it from a cult, it's one of the many things that's distinguishable about it, is that it is systematized knowledge accumulated over a long period of experience and observation, going back in the best religions, thousands of years. And instead of taking this cavalier, well, they can't all be true, so they must all be false. Not, and we're going to, now we have science, so we're going to, like Zarathustra, you know, the new man will spring from science because we're now rational, and everything all those people thought was just stupid garbage because they were primitive.
Oh my God, that sounds just like me. That was an uncanny impression, Max. Could you do that again? Because I'm thinking that's exactly what I sound like when I go to like tea parties and stuff.
When you get out of rant, religion is good. It is systematized knowledge. You have especially a good organized religion, yes, like Catholicism or Buddhism before the communists destroyed most of the spiritual Buddhists, or Shintoism. They have systematized and well-described and well-formed knowledge. That's why I would again say, you know what, for God's sake, stay as atheist as you want and say there are no Satanists or there are no demons. Go read An Exorcist Explains the Demonic anyway and tell me that man has a primitive mind or doesn't understand science. He might be describing merely something that's in human psychology and biochemistry that we still haven't tapped into yet. So we'll eventually be able to explain it all by biochemistry and selfish genes and whatnot. But in the meantime, it is systematized knowledge of something
expert. That book just screams to me, read me, make a video.
I bet it does. But the only thing I would encourage you to do is flippantly saying, I'm going to call it all cartoons. I'm going to say, have Shannon read it too and say, is this systematized knowledge?
Everybody knows I can't read.
Hey, Max, I'm actually going to read that book. I'm going to read it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll also send you guys some peer-reviewed references that you can share later, okay? I didn't come here with an armful of with 5,000 references, but I'll get them for anybody who wants them.
Yeah.
Find our Discord chat room. We don't bite.
Or if you could send them to me, Max, I'll tweet them out too. For anybody that wants
to. I will too. I'll retweet.
The savage atheist said he's going back to where the quantum physics thing was up. He said, bullshit, quantum physics has no such claims. We can't fathom no time, therefore can't show things outside of it. He's a physics major.
Yeah, I'll bring multiple PhD physicists in here to tell you I'm wrong. You're wrong. Give me the time. Give me the date. You aren't even being properly taught quantum physics, most likely. You're most likely being taught like an engineer is taught, like you just turn a crank and put in these equations and you get your result out. No, there's all kinds of things going on in quantum physics with people with real degrees who can tell you a lot about this. Quantum physics absolutely affirms that real things exist outside of time and space. You can quote me on that.
Well, if Savage is up for it, I don't mind having him and one of your scientists.
I'm up for it, too. I actually took physics myself. So.
There we go.
All right, I can rope in Jonathan Ratz. He's a good one.
One thing I did want to ask, Max, is I've never, and this kind of goes back to, I think it was the last video I made, we were talking about the spirit, and I've never heard anybody explain coherently what would be the function of a spirit? Like, why would you need it? What function does it serve that wouldn't be served by something by the material?
Well, things like will and awareness cannot be explained on material terms that alone. You can't explain that by material terms. I challenge you to try. You'll find some experts who say they can prove it, but get skeptical of them because they're just blowing hot air, and I can show you how they are every single time. Your mind exists outside of time and space, guys. I not only do I believe it, I got the science on my side to say so, and I'll bring you in for that kind of a conversation anytime you want to. I believe science is completely on the spiritual side. And it's completely on the, at this point, atheists make so many claims they can't back up. They need to start holding some burden of proof. You cannot show that everything in our brain is a result of electrochemistry. Can't be done by any scientific means to explain will or perception. And that's just two. And they're nowhere close to fixing it. Daniel Dennett's embarrassed himself trying. He can't because his idiocy is away. Yeah.
What type of claims are you saying atheists make towards science? What do you mean by that?
Well, you tend to think that we can reduce everything to electrochemistry in the brain and to our genes. That's so common in those circles. And it's again, that's not science. That's just faith, a faith assertion you have.
Okay.
Your assertion that religion is bad. There, frequently I see it being based on bad history, bad understanding, and not seeking knowledgeable sources to find out more. I'm from the religion, one of the most friendly, I am from the most science-friendly religion that's ever existed. And it's just ludicrous how often I get assaulted like I'm a science mental case. I understand science just fine, guys. I really do.
Well, you said the mind, right? I'm just wondering, like, what exactly is that? Like, what specific thing could you point to that says this is what the spirit does, and this is what you need?
Okay, will and perception, right there. Those two things can't explain either of those materially. You can try, but you can't.
Perception.
Yeah, perception. Yeah.
No, don't. No, really? What? No. No.
You cannot explain how you understand the color, you cannot explain your experience of the color yellow.
Well, that's an individual quality.
Or the like experience. That, no, it's not.
It's an individual quality of perception. Perception in total. Like, perception is broken down into individual qualia. And individual qualia of perception are like an individual unit. There are certain units of perception that cannot, they're tacit, essentially. So they cannot be necessarily articulated, and they're communicated through a common knowledge of a perception. So emotions are like that. Color is like that. Like what I see as blue, you might see as a slightly different shade of or a different version of what's blue, but we can both look at something and say it's blue. So that's a qualia of perception. Uh-huh. So there's certain things that are at external portions of perception that we can't readily identify why we all think that they're alike, but we experience them alike, and we can communicate with each other and understand that. We can also see in our brain where these things are taking place. Like we have localization of function, and we can follow our optic nerves and see where we're processing information. When we see it, we can look at our Wernicke's and Broca's area, and those are the areas that process either our perception of understanding or our perception of producing language. We know that if you damage those areas, that we know exactly the effect. Like if you look at Phineas Gage, you can see affection on personality based on brain damage. Like there's a lot of studies. We understand that perception has a mental component, and we can see where it's happening in the actual cortical. Like we can look at which hemisphere, like we can look at corpus callosum damage, and we can understand how part of our brain can't communicate with another part of our brain, and that damages it. And then we know based on what's damaged and where the damage is, and the fact that we can no longer perceive something based on that damage, that part of the brain obviously has something to do with that portion of our perception. So we know that when you damage certain parts, it affects mm-hmm. perception. So if you damage a part of your brain and your perception gets affected, obviously some perception happens in that part of the brain. So that's a localized function. Because it's a localized function to that portion of the brain, you can't say it happens external, because if it happens external, just that one small component of the brain being removed or damaged shouldn't affect perception. Otherwise, it has to be physical, because that damage shouldn't have any effect, right?
Nobody ever denies that we have correlation with brain activity in certain areas for certain things. Again, we've known this for a really long time.
So
in fact, we've known it for centuries. And so you just eliminated it. You've just that's an interesting assertion you just made. So it's all physical. And you gave a lot
of information
there. But let me just tell you, I'm going to see if I can get a couple guys to come on here and talk to you about what you think you know about neuroscience and what we know.
Yes, please. Really, I would love to talk to somebody about neuroscience.
Let me give you a shorthand, and then I'll shut up, and then I got to get ready to get going here, guys. But I'll give you.
I just want to ask you something, Max, before you go. You don't feel like it's 3-on-1 or nothing like that, do you?
No. Let me make this observation, and then I will answer your question.
Okay.
The soul is something. The mind is something. The soul. We'll go ahead and use the word soul here. Philosophers would prefer the term mind. Interacts with all that electrochemical stuff in your brain. It isn't the whole of your experience. The brain has a function, but one of the things it is transmitting to you, if you want, like an interface. Okay. To what's out there. And I'll bring in science to talk to you about why that's a rational thing to believe. Go with your question.
No, you didn't feel like it was 3-on-1 or anything like that, did you?
Not at all. You've all been most polite.
Okay, thank you. The reason I asked, this guy named Mathoma in the whatever his name is, said he felt like it was 3-on-1.
Yeah.
Any one of y'all can come in and help if you like. I don't care. I'll take on 2 or 3. I think
And like I said in the chat, I've been trying to stay neutral. I haven't really said.
Yeah, I just didn't want Max. I didn't want Max to feel that way. I didn't want Max to feel that way anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Not at all. I really enjoyed it. I hope we can do it again, or that I can invite one of you guys onto my channel sometime. No problem. I really enjoyed it.
Anytime.
I do want to leave you with a question, and I'm going to be all coy about it. Too. Okay. Oh. I'm gonna drop the question and then just drop the mic and walk on you, and you can decide what to do with the question. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
True story. The Virgin Mary allowed me to hold her baby, and that completely changed how I saw Jesus Christ. Now, what is your basis for saying I am delusional, crazy, or primitive-minded? God bless and Ave Maria, everybody.
Right. Hi, Max. You want to start first with that, Shannon?
There goes Max.
Max just mic dropped and left.
That was good. That was good he did that. I could have went a whole hour
classic
just doing that.
Max. Yeah. Well, why don't you go then, Emperor? You go ahead. You go.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, and then I'll probably get out to on what he just said about a virgin birth. Well, reason I think people like that are irrational and basically illogical, because one thing about the laws of physics, we have never ever seen them suspended for anything. So to believe in virgin births or people walking on water or God stopping the sun or turning water into wine and all of these ridiculous type beliefs. The reason that we should look at people like that as being illogical, the same reason we should believe that people, when they believed in Zeus and Hercules, and the same reason when people believed in Ahura Mazda, and that demons cause sicknesses, and that thunder god, the reason that it was thundering because some deity was doing it. And then later on by centuries of science, study made all of these beliefs go in the cave, and science is still doing it. And it's kind of, you know, crazy for me for people in 2018, for people to still believe stuff like this. But I do understand the psychological hold of religion, because I was theist most of my life. So, yeah, they're crazy. People that believe in a virgin birth of a woman, you know, for a woman to give birth to a boy, XY chromosome, she's XX. This is something we've never seen, and I'm sure we'll never see. So, yeah, it's illogical. And somebody to believe that is crazy to me. So, yeah. That's my answer. That's a short answer, by the way. That's a short answer.
Not a bad answer. That's a good answer.
David Hume. I know if y'all familiar with the philosopher David Hume. Mm-hmm. But he said, we never have any reason to believe in the supernatural because we've never witnessed it. We have never seen the laws of physics ever suspended. So that's my answer for that.
You got an answer, GC? What are you going to say?
No, I'm good. I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to stay away from
that. You're not going to poke that hornet's nest.
What the hell is Steve talking about? Steve said a verse. You hear Steve, your big brother Steve, Shannon says.
Oh, my big brother.
Verse of birth is awesome. but he said it would be female. What the hell is Steve talking about? Give it to me, Steve.
Steve just only talks about females. That's Steve's problem. Everybody go join the Great Debate what? Community. If I don't say that, Steve has to, he smacks me around.
That's great. Well, I think we could wrap it up unless you want to take a whack at the Max thing there, Shannon.
No, I've whacked at enough of Max's things for one day. I think I'm all set.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. And thank you, Shannon and Emperor Atheist for coming on and helping
thank
me out.
No problem, bro.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again. Take all care right. and cheers.
Bye, Scott.
Parthenogenesis? No, Steve. Parthenogenesis don't work in a human female. Not hardly. Not good. Peace out.
That's where we'll end, I guess.
Yeah.